Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
From high above the milkpacking district, in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Passengers have started revolting against TSA pat-downs. The Prime Minister of Italy is being pressured to resign over a bunga bunga orgy. And a disabled man's tricycle is stolen in Gresham.
Sorry, was that bunga bunga bunga? Or just bunga bunga?
It's two bungas.
A whole different kettle of fish.
Oh, yeah, it's completely different.
Pardon me, are you of the Rockaway Bungas? Have no doubt, my friends, that I have...
You just cracked yourself up there.
It's a whole thing. As always, my friends, this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more bungered than when this hour began. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor. And this is absolutely everything you need to know for Monday, November 15th, 2010.
It doesn't even seem possible.
Trust me, everything. Everything.
I'm just saying, it seems beyond the realm of human achievement.
Starting with this.
It doesn't even seem like it's attainable.
Police are trying to help a disabled man whose specialized tricycle was stolen in Gresham. The bike vanished Friday night from an apartment complex located near the intersection of Southeast Division and Southeast 181st.
Oh, God.
Now Gresham police are circulating a photo of a tricycle similar to the one that was stolen.
Okay, hold on just one second. This is the first story of the week, yes?
Yes.
Monday?
Yes.
Disabled guy?
Lost his tricycle.
Gresham. Lost so much as had stolen.
Right, someone stole his tricycle.
All right, they're circulating a photograph of not the tricycle.
No, a tricycle.
Okay.
It is the actual stolen bike is called a Manhattan Adult Trike and is champagne silver in color.
Uh-huh. All right, hold on. I'm going to start the week by hitting my head against the desk. All right, hold on. Okay.
You know, if you were a disabled man who relied on your tricycle to get you to, like, Fred Meyer and such, you would be distraught.
I'm not...
If ne'er-do-wells stole your tricycle.
And hooligans as well.
Yes.
And frumious bandersnatches. I'm not disputing. No, I find no fault with the disabled. Who finds fault with the disabled?
I don't know.
I mean, except for you. And you're not really disabled. You're just limpy disabled.
Right.
It's not like you're on a tricycle or something.
No, although I have to admit that I thought about buying one of those at one point.
Really?
I think they're kind of cool.
But this is, when you say an adult tricycle.
Right, they're huge. They're adult size.
Is this like the tall bike of the three-wheeled set? Or...
No, they're mostly ridden by really fat people.
Okay, it's like a Rascal, but it's not electric.
No, it's a tricycle, but it's big. It's like an adult. It's like a three-speed bike, but it's a tricycle.
Is this just a? All right, it's too early in the week for this, or too late in the morning for this, or it's too like, something for something.
It's like you get to ride a bike, but you don't have to worry about toddling over.
No, but you just have to worry about bandits in Gresham. That was really the head hitting was all about. I mean, Gresham. Of all of the things to steal in Gresham, people's hope, the virginity of their daughter. I mean, you're stealing a tricycle. From what is it? Is he when you say? Did you say he is handicapped? Is that how you refer to him?
It says he's disabled.
He is disabled. Does
sure
that mean? Is that upstairs or?
I don't know.
In the frame.
I'm really unsure.
The frame or the mainframe? One of the two. Well, I mean, but he's disabled or delayed in some fashion. I mean, a guy's delayed, and you're stealing his tricycle from. Just say that to yourself. Look, just confidential for me to like. Whatever waste of skin stole a tricycle from a disabled guy in Gresham? What kind of man are you? Yeah. I mean, just look in the mirror and just ask yourself, what is this creature that stands aloft like a human and yet stole a tricycle? Okay, what kind of criminal? How can, even as a thief, how can you have respect for yourself if you're stealing a tricycle from an adult disabled man in Gresham?
They are costly. They do cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars. It's, I mean, they ain't cheap.
That doesn't...
So at 181st at Division, if you're a criminal, that might be the most valuable thing at that intersection to steal.
But here's why that doesn't matter. Because when you say... Keep in mind, I'm not cross at you, you understand? You're just the messenger here.
Yeah.
You're just passing along the news from an unfortunate goddamned world, by which I mean Gresham. The fact that it's really expensive is fundamentally useless, though, because it's not like there's a burgeoning market for adult tricycles. Not like you can just go peddle that at a pawn shop, so to speak.
No, I'd probably put it on Craigslist and then get caught in like a week.
Or, you know, just left it in a field somewhere because they were distracted by a gopher hole. What's that? I don't know. It's some broken glass. Let's go see if it'll fit up your nose.
Weren't we doing something? I don't know.
I don't know. What's this tricycle? I don't know. Never seen it before. Let's leave it here.
Yeah.
Life.
So anyway, if you see some ne'er-do-well hooligans trying to sell a used Manhattan adult trike in the color champagne silver,
beat them senseless.
Yeah, just.
Seriously, I will alibi for you. I will swear to God, I will fabricate tickets showing that we were at the movies. If you just see those guys who stole the bike from the guy, I don't know the guy. I don't know the guy a favor. The guy's never done anything for me. It's not patronage. I have no knowledge of the guy. But if you see the people who took the guy's bicycles, do what needs to be done, and Rick Emerson will make it all go away. Rick Emerson will make that problem vanish.
In a bid to force the resignation of Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, four top Italian ministers resigned today, according to Business Week. Berlusconi has been deflecting calls to step down since it was revealed this month he was involved in a bunga bunga sex scandal with a 17-year-old Moroccan belly dancer and may have paid his lawyer to lie under oath on his behalf.
That's hard to believe. Can I? I don't know.
Would you like to know what a bunga bunga?
Here's the thing. Yes, but also I'd like to guess first.
Okay.
Can I just take another moment just to sort of...
Sure. You did rush in here, you know, at the last minute from your busy, busy life, still wearing a suit. So I understand that this sudden left turn into stolen tricycles and bunga bunga sex scandals may be making your head swim a little.
It's not even really that. I mean, it's like, I think on any given day, if the first story... I mean, Gresham is filled with drugs and guns, and drugs made out of guns and guns made out of drugs. There's a lot of... If you're a thief...
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. If you're an upwardly mobile, intellectually bent citizen, you're of a mind to sit around and do some reading, maybe ponder the eternal verities, maybe make something of yourself, maybe there's not a lot to do there. I'll grant you that. If you're a thief... You're basically on Pleasure Island. You're a pre-donkey boy just sort of running around, you know, gallivanting in nightclubs with Pinocchio or whatever happened to that damn Disney film. So there's lots of things for you to steal in Gresham. The stealing the tricycle is not only just seems punitive because the guy's disabled. It doesn't make any sense. It is like the definition of the stupid crime. So there's that followed by a story which sounds like it was lifted from like a third season episode of Futurama. Or a crude joke that my fat friend Eddie would have told me in third grade. It's just there's no morning activities that would have rendered this less surreal as a way to start my day. All right. So Berlusconi, who, by the way, is awesome because he basically just stoops everything that moves. And when they ask him, he just goes, I just like to F, you know, and he just doesn't care.
I'm Italian.
Yeah. He's like, you know, and my name is Silvio. So, like, I'll have you killed if you look at me wrong. I mean, have you and your whole family whacked into hamburger. So he's trying to get him out because of a bunga bunga scandal with
right.
a who? A 17-year-old Moroccan belly dancer?
Yes.
Bunga bunga is, I feel like one of us is Karnak here. Bunga bunga. Or you're Richard Dawson. No.
Survey says...
Is Bunga Bunga a dance?
No.
Okay. I'll take three guesses. I almost feel like you shouldn't tell me. Let me ask you this. Would it be possible for you to, if I don't guess it correctly, for you to continue on through the story, give us all the rest of the news story, essentially, without revealing what Bunga Bunga is?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So if I don't get it in three, we'll try it again next show. We'll try it again, 1 o'clock with Rick Emerson.
Okay.
All right. Bunga Bunga. It's not a dance. Is Bunga Bunga Is Bunga Bunga a traditional ritual that takes place in Morocco, perhaps of the achieving adulthood variety?
No.
Okay, one more. Bunga Bunga. Is Bunga Bunga... Is Bunga Bunga a small white bird whom the Moroccan people worship as an incarnation of a soothsayer from a previous age?
Strangely, no.
Okay. I really honestly thought that that had like a 50-50
yeah,
shot,
well,
like no worse than the other two guesses.
Okay. We will. So I will finish the story, and then we will revisit what Bunga Bunga is exactly
later today. Bunga Bunga?
Today's exodus comes as the Italian parliament prepares to vote on the 2011 budget, and the move could prompt a vote of confidence in the two houses of parliament and possibly trigger an early election. While the embattled prime minister might survive a vote of confidence in the Senate, thanks to the efforts of former ally and opposition leader Gianfranco Fini, he may not be so lucky in the Chamber of Deputies. Still, even if the government fails, early elections are not a certainty. There are many possibilities. The final decision is in the hands of the Prime Minister.
Sergio Buscaglione and the Chamber of Deputies. So they resigned. How is that supposed to force him out? Some guys who didn't like him quit their jobs.
I have no idea. I think because they, I don't know.
You know, if the guys who didn't like me at CBS had quit their jobs, I'd be running the company right now.
I'm not sure. Things are different in Europe. They just go, we don't approve of you. We quit.
A lot of this logic doesn't hold up under even the vaguest of scrutinies.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. It is Monday, and isn't it a glorious Monday? It is 12:13.
Unless you own a trike.
Listen to this. So we get this. Bunch of savages in this town. Guy says, there was a 14-year-old scumbag that stole an electric handicap scooter from outside the dollar store at 182nd and Division, but that was last year. By the way, we know this because he also snuck into our backyard, and I'm quoting now, and stole our garden gnomes and stuff. End quote. Not just one gnome, stole multiple gnomes. Presumably to take them on a gallivanting ride around the world on the trike, taking a series of photos. You know, like here I am at Famous Ray's. All right. You're listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. We thank you for joining us. You can get this program later on today via iTunes, through the magic of science and today and stuff. You can also get it as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. Coming up at 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson radio program featuring a clergy watch. Also, Mr. Aaron Duran will join us with The Week in Geek. We'll have another top five and so forth. Here is Don Taylor.
More and more airline passengers are becoming upset with the new invasive security procedures by TSA agents. John Tyner was leaving on a hunting trip at the San Diego airport and refused both a revealing backscatter x-ray and a pat-down that included a touch of his groin area.
Is this cut one?
Mm-hmm.
I turned to him, I looked him in the eye, and I said, if you touch my junk, I'll have you arrested.
I love this guy.
Yeah.
Well done, sir.
I read the story this morning. I love this story. Tyner says TSA agents surrounded him at the security checkpoint.
The supervisor came over. She explained the whole process again. I told her, you know, I'm not really comfortable with this. It seems to me it amounts to a sexual assault, and I don't think that should be a condition for getting on the plane.
Well, seriously, if a guy just, you know, if I just came and wanted just to grab your junk, I mean, just, you know, like on the street, I mean, I guess you might be okay with it. It would, suppose, you know, depend on the guy and the circumstance.
And you.
And I mean,
the
whether,
mood
you know.
You're in.
You know, if you, where you are on the Kinsey scale, but in an airport where you haven't asked, that is the definition of an unwanted sexual advance, I would say.
And I don't think I don't know if he says it in the third cut here, but the thing I liked in the story is that when he said this to the TSA agent, he said that this is sexual assault, and she said, no, this does not qualify as sexual assault. And he said, well, it would if you weren't the government.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like I have any problem with cops as such, but I've always said the thing about cops is, when you think about it, really, just how Microsoft is, you know, they're an office supply store, cops are citizens who are allowed to shoot you if they think you got it coming. You know, now maybe there are guidelines for when that is, but like if they think you need shooting, hey, you get shot. And so these are like, and plus, what is his name, Tyner?
Yeah,
I haven't seen Mr. Tyner, but unless he's a man of Holmesian proportions, it's like, what terrorist device are you smuggling under your penis?
Tyner says TSA agents were escorting him out of the airport when a man described as a TSA supervisor threatened him.
The guy threatened me with a federal lawsuit and a $10,000 fine, and I finally told him I would see him in court and left the airport.
But this is the guy who left his cell phone running and he recorded the audio of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I've got that. We can play that later, actually. I've got the audio of the whole encounter.
Yeah, he also, he was told by one, I believe this TSA supervisor, I'm not sure, that he was free to go. He went to American Airlines to the counter. And he was very surprised when they offered him a full refund.
On a non-refundable ticket.
But then he was also told by a TSA agent that he was not allowed to leave the airport. And if he did, there would be a $10,000 fine.
Right.
And he did anyway. And he went home and he blogged about it.
Well, because he did that whole thing that you are perfectly free to do, where he said, like, am I under arrest? And they said no. And he said, then I am free to go.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, the answer to one of those questions is yes. The answer to both of them can't be one or the other. And anyway, so that no fly or the no pat day or whatever it is, the opt out day.
Yes.
Which I think is that. Is the 24th or the 26th?
There are actually a number of groups are trying to put this together.
That's
for
the 24th.
The day before Thanksgiving, which is like a huge flying day. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving, a number of groups trying to organize people going for an opt-out day, where basically if you're flying, you go to the airport. If they try to pat you down, you just say no. And if thousands of people say no, it's like, what the hell are they going to do about
it? Which is awesome. By the way, can I just tell you, this is the sort of thing that Rick Emerson lives for. Just massive snarls and just entropy and chaos and discord everywhere. By the way, this is also one of those scenarios where, improbable as it may seem, I root for everybody. I root for this guy to say no. I root for them to tase him. I root for him to sue them in court and win. Then I root for them to, I don't know, pave over his house or something. And then I root for him to, you know, I don't know, create a doomsday device and wear a cloak and walk around a castle. And then I root for them, you know, to blow up the planet from orbit. I don't care.
Because all of these scenarios entertain you?
Yes. Yes. It's just whatever leads to, you know, just whatever leads to the eventual implosion of the whole joint, I'm for it.
That's an interesting thing about you. It's never really about right and wrong with you, is it? It's just purely about your own personal entertainment value.
It's really about what passes the day for me. You know, if I could just create some spectacle, I don't really care how. It doesn't matter. Plus, you know what? Here's the thing. I got a huge... I'm nuts for Abbie Hoffman. I'm a huge Abbie Hoffman fan. Because I just like guys who screw with the program a little bit. I like guys who just, you know, who are just a stick in the spokes, gum in the gears. That's who I like. People who just cause trouble for other people. That's what I like.
In a few minutes, I will need you to play some audio that is in the Dropbox.
Right.
By the way, I've got to tell you about
that. If there was like a hot, stacked girl who was behind this whole thing, she would be the hottest woman on earth. You know, if this was, I'm sure he's an attractive man.
Mm.
Apparently, they wanted to grab his penis. I'm just saying, like, if he was a hot girl, he'd be scorchingly hot just because he's in it. Because he's, you know, he's just causing a ruckus with things.
A teenager in Rock Creek was accidentally shot by his friend on Friday evening. The victim was at the home of his 16-year-old friend and a third friend. They drank some liquor from the parents' unlocked liquor cabinet. The teens then went to a gun safe in the home, and the teen host took out a 9mm semi-automatic handgun. He was showing it to his friends, and it discharged.
This is some different definition of the word safe that I wasn't previously familiar with.
The shot hit the friend, who went home and was driven to the hospital by his father. The teen had a through-and-through wound to his upper right arm, but the slug missed the bone.
He went home and showed his father?
I think it was like...
Sort of like, hey, look at this. What'd you do today, son? Well,
I think it's more a matter of he's 16 years old, so he doesn't know what to do. And it's like, ow, you shot me. I'm going home.
That's true. I guess if it wasn't.
And then he gets home and dad's like, what's wrong? I don't want to tell you. Now you got to tell me.
Did you scratch the car, son?
Josh accidentally shot me with his dad's gun.
With a 9mm. But you would think it would hurt. I mean, a lot. To the point that you would say, like, I got to get this taken care of.
Yeah, but still, it's like you're 16 years old. Your first instinct is to just go home.
Not to
like call 911 or something.
I guess that is true.
Washington County Sheriff's deputies were called to St. Vincent Hospital about 9 p.m., where they found the teenager with the gunshot wound to his arm. All three boys told the same story. Results of the investigation will be turned over to juvenile court to determine if charges will be filed. By the way, Washington County Police would like to take this opportunity to say the incident serves as a reminder to parents to keep their liquor cabinets locked. And combinations on gun safes should be changed frequently, and ideally each weapon has its own gun lock.
It shouldn't be like 1, 2, 3, 4. Did you say that they weren't playing like Russian roulette or something, right?
No, they were drinking, and the kid went and got his dad's gun out of the gun safe and went, hey, look at this gun, and then apparently squeezed the trigger with the safety off while he was, you know, because he didn't know how to use it properly, because...
Good thing it was in the house keeping them safe.
Because, you know, they have a gun in the house. They put the gun in the safe.
Sure.
But they don't actually teach the 16-year-old kid anything about actual gun safety.
No, why would you do that?
No. Multnomah County Sheriff's deputies said they returned to Sovie Island to look for any clues in the disappearance of Kyron Horman, but wouldn't comment on exact search locations or why things seemed to be focused around the water. This is the first time since mid-October that search crews were on the island. Dive teams took to the water on Saturday. Eight law enforcement agencies and fire departments helped in Saturday's search, and Multnomah County Sheriff's investigators say more searchers will be out on Sovie Island on Sunday. They didn't say if a new lead prompted them to search the island again or if it was just a follow-up to other recent searches. Kyron disappeared from Skyline School on June 5th.
So there's, June 5th. So, I mean, it's been 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I mean, doesn't it seem to you that there's the, it's a bell curve? In other words, they find the kid within a month, or they find him like 15 years later living in Sacramento. They don't ever find the kid like a year later.
If he's alive.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what, you know, because the parents, but they're doing what parents do. They hope that it all, you know, that he turns up or whatever, which has happened. But again, it's always like right away, or it's like two decades later, and he's living under an assumed name like in Cleveland. It's never that they find him in the middle time period. They never find him like 18 months later.
Although it's really bizarre to me that Kane Horman is still like going out there and standing in front of the news cameras with his Find Kyron shirt, while in the background behind him there are dive teams looking at under the water.
Nothing to see here
in Sovie Island. He's like, we still hope we'll find him safe and sound. It's like, what, do you think he's, like, living in an undersea bubble?
Well, that's not his fault. It's just that, you know, the news just keeps showing up, though. That's the thing, is he keeps standing out there and the news keeps showing up and, like, rinse, wash, repeat. I mean, that's just, that is a symbiotic relationship is what that is. Let's see. This guy says, hey, I fly tomorrow, so am I going to get felt up? Well, I suppose it all depends on your definition, sir, madam, as the case may be. Hey, so if somebody's going to be flying today and you'd like to, you'd like to opt out and then tell us how it goes.
Yeah.
You call us. You let us know.
Please.
You can email me. That's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Or Dawn@rickemerson.com. Yeah, you can also call this number if you'd like. It's 503-505-6964. 503-505-6964. We would, I wonder if it's illegal for us to offer an inducement, like a prize for someone to opt out, you know, and then just tell us what happens.
I don't think so.
Because it's not illegal.
Yeah.
We're not asking them to do anything that would not be legal otherwise.
Right. We're just asking them to exercise, you know, their legal rights as an American citizen, which they already got. I tell you what, if you actually opt out.
If you can succeed in opting out and getting patted down.
Yeah.
Then we'll give you something shiny.
And if you actually get somebody to videotape it or whatever, if you have some actual footage that we can prove it and we can look at it and do something with it, there is a fruit basket in this for you.
Seriously, and a back rub from Dawn.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far.
Well, no,
I guess... If you're opting out of being groped by TSA, why would their prize be to be groped by me?
Because you're just the T and the A, baby. Yeah. All right, you're listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Didn't even have to think about that.
It was
right there.
Disturbing.
Yep. more of this rapier-like wit can be heard in the Rick Emerson radio program every day at a little bit after 1 o'clock at rickemerson.com. So if you hear Legion of News and you say, that's great, but then when it ends at 1, I'm just so sad. Well, you can be listening at rickemerson.com for the low price of just 32 cents a day. And for those of you who instantly recoil at the thought of spending, not even, it's like, not even a cup of coffee. It's basically just the cost of the cup. Not even the coffee, really, at this point. Don't forget, if you become a subscriber to the Rick Emerson Radio program, you listen free for 1 week. You get the first week free. You can cancel at any time, and I'll take it kind of personally, but not that personally. So it should go without saying, by the way, just as a blanket statement to any and all government officials that might be listening. We are, of course, not endorsing, encouraging, promoting, or advocating any breaking of any law, and we do not wish for you to violate any ordinance or cause any sort of disruption that would in any way be a be a violation of any regulation or rule. So, with that caveat, yeah, if you can, because what is the deal? We should talk about this more next hour, I guess.
Yeah. Because
I want to know the process. Because I get people asking me questions, so we should talk more about it. Next hour on the Rick Emerson Show, you're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. This is Dawn Taylor.
A Texas man in his 60s has been killed by his pet deer. Officials say 67-year-old Gerald Rushton was raising a European red stag on his property along with other animals. As Rushton was entering the stag's pen to feed it, the 550-pound animal became aggressive, charged, and pinned Rushton against the fence. Investigators say Rushton was gored several times and trampled. The red stag was killed so rescuers could get to Rushton, but they say he was already dead.
Well, don't you think that they ought to just... You know, when they're going into the animals, you know, attacking the guy, if the guy's already dead, which you know they know. I mean, you know they're looking at the guy and the deer is basically just nibbling on one of his ears. You know the guy is dead. It seems that I always get annoyed when they kill the poor animal for being, you know, an animal in these situations.
Yeah, because I saw a little news piece about this on the TV news from Texas. And because I do that for the listeners, I watch the Texas TV news.
Yeah.
And it is, first of all, rutting season. So, and second of all, it was a 550-pound stag.
Covered with horns.
Covered with horns.
Also, you're made of meat, friend.
Yeah.
You are soft and fleshy.
Did you get this bit of audio?
Well,
from
I don't
Dropbox?
Know. What is it called?
Stephen Morgan.
Okay, I got that.
Okay, good.
Oh, this is the guy.
This is the guy.
Oh, my God.
We have an update on the guy.
Is this the guy with the greatest mugshot in the history of...
It is indeed.
...mugshotism? Okay, so if you go to... I don't think I've changed the name of it for today, but if you go to rickemerson.com/pictures, and if you look at visual aids for... I guess it would have been the 12th, for November 12th, 2010, or if you're listening to this after like 12:45, for November 15th, this is the guy with the greatest mugshot ever, the sort of Randy Quaid with no teeth as a vampire guy.
And for today, I uploaded a new photo of him sitting on the witness stand in court.
Awesome.
So that should be available
I'll
there for
get
today.
Get that taken care of. Yeah.
So the man who police say was involved in a one-man crime spree in Milwaukee made his first court appearance Friday afternoon. Mark Stephen Morgan, 46, was indicted by a grand jury on Friday on charges of criminal mischief, assault, menacing, and harassment. Milwaukee police say Stephen Morgan was involved in assault and vandalism near downtown Milwaukee on October 1st. He's accused of shoving a man at a TriMet bus mall and jumping up and down on the hood of a parked car with a driver inside.
Awesome.
Less than an hour later, Stephen Morgan jumped out of the bushes and then threw rocks at a woman near Milwaukee Marketplace. Stephen Morgan was loud and even obnoxious while appearing on closed-circuit television in Clackamas County Court. And here's a little bit of audio from his testimony.
Sir, are you Mr. Stephen Morgan?
You, huh? Stephen Morgan, sir. Stephen Morgan, G-E-N, as in E-N versus A-N, sir.
Your attorney is Mr. Noss, is that correct?
And he kicks Gluteus Maximus, sir.
What the hell? What is up with this guy? I don't get.
Other than the fact he's
that he's awesome,
raving crazy and he's awesome.
Well, but he seems to have. But he seems to really be enjoying himself. He has a life loving zeal to his crazy.
Yeah, if you go to it might be KBTV, it might be KGW. Anyway, they do have video of his closed circuit television in their thing, and he was looking directly into the closed circuit camera and flexing and then pointing at, like, the Clackamas County, like, you know, sheriff's logo up over his head. Like, look, I've been arrested.
Oh, that is great. I wish I'd give anything if he would just stand up and just, like, tear his shirt off.
He's...
Mark Stephen Morgan running wild!
But I just, asked the name of his attorney, and his response, he goes, yes, and he kicks Gluteus Maximus, sir.
Over what period of time was this this crime wave, this one-man crime wave?
A couple of hours.
So, and this was the next day that he was arrested?
Well, and the next day, apparently he went to Safeway, and they don't, none of the stories said what it was he said, but he made unsettling remarks to a clerk at the Safeway.
What are the odds?
And then they called the police, and the police were like, oh, yeah, Stephen Morgan,
I mean, it's funny that they weren't crude or profane. They were unsettling.
I know. Well, when you hear him, I think anything he says sounds unsettling. Just clarifying the spelling and pronunciation of his name, he sounds threatening and terrifying.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, how you would unsettle without actually threatening or being violent or being lewd in some fashion. How you would say, you know, the inside of a record spins slower than the outside of a record. How's that possible? They're connected. And then he just stared or something.
I was at the supermarket once, and it was like, you know, go out and learn life skills day, apparently, for like a local crazy house.
Uh-huh.
And there were a whole bunch of people with their helpers.
I think step one is not calling it a crazy house.
But I was standing at the frozen food section, and I was looking for something, and this guy was standing there staring at the frozen food, and I went to reach for something, and he just didn't look at me, but just obviously to me while still staring at the like the ice cream. He said, "Ice crystals forming."
Excellent.
And I said, "Yes."
Awesome.
Indeed. And then I walked away. So, you know, I if you're crazy, I don't think it's that hard to be unsettling. You could say just about anything.
This guy, he says, "One-man crime spree sounds like a great name for a wrestler. Also, he should get a job as an airport groper." Oh, man. That should totally be his community service. He should have to work for the TSA.
That would be great.
What is it? Jeffrey Sieben Morgan?
Mark.
Mark Sieben Morgan. He should completely have to be a guy who's going to... "I'm going to have to search your bags and your soul, please."
He is my new favorite guy.
I love like, that guy.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Here is Don Taylor.
Boy. President Obama says he continues to support tax cuts for the middle class.
Is President Zeke Obama?
No, that's President Barack Obama.
Damn.
Not to be confused with President Chet Obama.
Okay, just checking.
President Barack
Got
Obama.
It.
Says he continues to support continued tax cuts for the middle class and no extension of tax cuts for the rich. Mr. Obama is backing away from comments senior White House advisor David Axelrod made about the administration being ready to accept a temporary extension of tax cuts for all Americans.
What is the name of this cut?
Obama One.
All right. Are there two here or just one?
There's two.
Okay.
"I've made it clear that America is not and never will be at war with Islam."
Nah, that's the wrong cut.
That's
The problem is that I have 2 days. We didn't use the Obama cuts from Friday, and so I've actually I've merged them, but because I'm not that bright, they're both named Obama, and so they're both named Obama One. Let me see. This might be it. Hold on a second. Let me just give this to you.
"That is the wrong interpretation because I haven't had a conversation with Republican and Democratic leaders."
You know, I have no idea if that's the right soundbite or not.
No, that could be for almost anything.
That could just be anything at all.
"That is the wrong interpretation because I haven't had a conversation with Republican and Democratic leaders."
That could be Sieben Morgan responding to how his name is pronounced.
I'm just going to... I think I'm just going to use that one for both okay. Occurrences here.
Meanwhile, Obama is praising Iraq's move toward a power-sharing agreement, but says there's still challenges to overcome.
"That is the wrong interpretation because I haven't had a conversation with Republican and Democratic leaders."
"Yes, at this point, we are only hopeful that the regulators will give us some clarity about their expectations, and then we can plan on that basis."
Excellent. You're listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm, made possible by Castalia Language Center. You can find out more about them by going to PortlandSpanish.com. If you were Mark Sieben Morgan, and if you could, he might speak Spanish. He might be one of those freakishly intelligent guys, speaks like 12 languages, you know? So smart he just couldn't fit in man's world. Imagine how unsettling you could be, you know, if you had a wholly separate tongue. You could really do, I would say, some serious mental damage there if you could. I mean, because really, you could unsettle twice as many people. You know, you got your Spanish-speaking folk, your English-speaking folk. You could be double-fisting it, sort of, but without fists and with your mouth. The point is, you can find out how to speak Spanish in a natural and conversational way. Probably not an unsettling way, but that comes later. That's like Chapter 10, colloquialisms and local dialects. You can find out more about Castalia Language Center at PortlandSpanish.com. PortlandSpanish.com, where you learn to speak Spanish in conversation by speaking Spanish conversationally. It means it's not like a full immersion program where they're going to drop you in, you know, they're just going to like drop you in Bogota or something. But you are going to be put in situations where you're speaking it as you will be speaking it, you know, in your everyday life, as opposed to just memorizing a bunch of stuff that's on like, you know, a mimeograph sheet that you just sort of, you know, that you keep in the shortest of short-term parking in your head. And as soon as the test is, you're like, "Oh, I'm done. I can forget that. Hey. You know, and then it's like, then you're trying to order a taco and you can't figure out why it's not coming together for you. So you're going to learn it in a way that it sticks with your brain and that it stays in your brain and that your brain is able to use it to form conversations. You find out more by going to PortlandSpanish.com. Please do tell Clara Greble and everybody at Castalia Language Center. You heard it right here. Legion of News. PortlandSpanish.com is their website, PortlandSpanish.com.
Let's visit the world of science.
Here's your science on the march. It is Monday right here at Legion of News.
Imagine being turned loose to find food and family without the ability to see.
Wait. Okay, no, I don't like it.
No. Good. You wouldn't. Well, that's the challenge scientists think stranded dolphins have faced and failed in an aquatic world where ears serve as eyes, according to the Washington Post.
Who's so smart now, huh?
The scientists came to the conclusion after finding that weakened or dead dolphins found near the shore are often deaf, according to a new study published in a science journal last week. Scientists aren't sure why the stranded marine mammals have lost their ability to hear, though old age and man-made din of ships' engines and Navy sonar sit high on the list of suspects. The finding presents another problem: what to do with stranded animals that are still alive. In times past, benevolent humans would slop water over the dolphins until they could be pushed back out to sea. Now it seems returning the deaf dolphins to the ocean may be akin to a death sentence. Even expensive rehab may not help the animals if they can't hear. Every year, 1,200 to 1,600 whales and dolphins wash up on America's shores. Most are dead already, and those that survive often die later. The scientists said they tested the dolphins' hearing by asking them to respond to auditory cues.
Can you hear me?
The deaf dolphins can't raise their flipper in response to a tone.
Oh, come on. Look, I need you to raise your left hand. No, left, left. If you could. No, he can't hear me. Keeps raising his right flipper. No, left. Maybe they just lack spatial relations skills. That would explain why they hit the beach. Also why they're raising the wrong thing.
Maybe they're just the stupidest of dolphins.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Really, not going to hold on to that second smartest creature on Earth designation very long at this rate.
We always think that they're all so smart, but I mean, look at people. There's a lot of really stupid people. There's probably really stupid dolphins, too.
Oh, yes.
Marine mammal researchers have gone to great lengths for deaf dolphins before. In 2007, scientists set up a sort of baby Mozart system with a pregnant deaf dolphin, piping dolphin conversations into the mother's tank.
You're effing with me. You're
so
just
that
making
the calf
that
in
up.
Her womb could learn how to talk.
Making it up. There is no... We're not spending money piping... What? Into... Are we not... Please tell me it's not actual
baby
Mozart.
Dolphin
sounds. It's the dolphin Mozart.
So that the baby dolphin... could hear them.
It's Beethoven. I'm sorry. That joke doesn't even work. All right.
The baby dolphin died anyway later from breathing complications, but it apparently it might have been able
to. But the mother is deaf, so there's a chance the baby would have been deaf as well.
Or, well, maybe, unless the mother was deaf from, like, sonar or something.
Or sharks.
Yeah, or, I don't know, standing too close to the stage at a
Motley Crue concert.
At a Motley Crue concert. Dolphins really should know better.
I wish I'd known a Mozart riff right there. That joke would have been a lot funnier if I hadn't done Beethoven.
That was
stuff.
Beethoven.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, what are you going to do?
Early wrinkles, premature balding, and gray hairs before you feel middle-aged can be distressing signs of time's relentless march, Rick Emerson.
Also, phrases like time's relentless march can be a little distressing.
But looking older than you really are doesn't necessarily signal an early death, according to a new study.
Wait, was that me, Rick Emerson? Right there, when you said Rick Emerson, that wasn't some other Rick Emerson you were referencing. That was me just now.
I was speaking to you.
Okay. Thought it might have been that guy.
You need to reliably look at least 10 years more mature than your true age before your appearance is a sign of ailing health, according to the study. The finding raises questions about the long-standing practice among doctors to consider how old their patients look as part of routine physical exams. According to lead researcher Stephen Huang, a physician and researcher at St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto, this has been passed on from generation to generation of physicians without any explicit explanation of exactly why they're doing it. It's implied by doing this that you're getting a sense of a person's overall level of health, but it's interesting to think that it's probably not really a strong indicator of whether someone is healthy or not, if they look, like, older than they actually are.
If a guy looks like he's just fallen apart, then he's probably not, like, in the best of health.
But, I mean, if you're 35 and you look like you're in your early 40s or something like that, or if you're in your 40s and you look like you're probably, you know, late 40s. I mean, you know, it's like if you actually look a little older than you are, people have always thought that was a sign of, doctors have always said, thought that was a sign of not being healthy. But they surveyed people who were waiting in clinics to see their doctors, ranging in age from 30 to 70. The patients answered questions about their mental and physical health. They collected more than 125 surveys. Then 50 internal medicine physicians looked at the photos. They learned how old each patient was, just as they would in a real exam, and judged how old each patient looked. And overall, the results showed that discrepancies between physicians' assessments and a patient's age didn't mean anything until the doctor's judgment was at least 10 years older than the patient's true age. So it's only really if you look...
If you're 20 and you look 50,
right,
it's a problem.
If you look 10 years or more older than you actually are, then it's an indicator of health. But other than that, it really isn't. And it also... the researchers also identified quite a few health issues in people with age-appropriate appearance. So even if you look your age or younger than your age, that doesn't mean that you're healthy. It just means, you know, you look younger.
By the way, while we're on the subject, can we please take down those signs over that say, if you look like you're over 26, we're going to cut... You don't know what someone who's 26 looks like. Yeah. That's just ridiculous. The signs irritate
me. 26 is so
specific. That's the thing. It's absurd. It makes me angry it's so absurd because it's just because it's completely... There's no... It can't be done.
You're just angry because no one asks you anymore.
Well, that's true. But the last time he did, I swear to God, they also asked a guy in front of me who was like Abe Vigoda old. I mean, he was like Methuselah buying a pack of Newports. And they carded him, so it's like then they had to card me.
The last time I got carded, I was very pleased because they took it and they said, well, we have to ask anybody who looks like they could be 30. You know, and, you know, I am 74. So I was very, very grateful for this. I said, well, thank you. And then they did that triple take cartoon thing with my license.
It's like,
you don't look nearly that old. And then I punched the guy.
I swear to God, I gave my guy, I was like buying, I don't know, probably one of the many times I was tempted to buy Four Loko over the weekend.
I did buy Four Loko.
Awesome. Really? Is it here?
It's in the fridge.
Excellent. We should drink it next hour.
I think we should.
Awesome. You can hear that, by the way, at rickemerson.com, where you can, really, it's just a bountiful cornucopia of comedic hijinks from Don Taylor, myself, and a cast of thousands. Hear that at rickemerson.com for the low price of just 32 cents a day. You can listen for 1 week before we just forcibly come and make you pay. So there you get like a week free.
Before the government makes you do it.
That's right. Not subscribe, but drink Four Loko. Wait, I don't even know what we're talking
either
about
one.
Now.
I don't either.
Well, whatever. But it was like, showed my guy, the guy at the Plaid Pantry, like a license, because I was buying a six-pack, you know, for Lar or something. And I handed him the license, and I swear to God, he looks at my driver's license, and then he looks at me, and he looks at the license, he looks at me, and he goes, whoa, you were fat. And then he... just like that.
Wow.
Like a full-on Spicoli.
Oh, my God.
And then he did, well, but I mean, I guess, you know, I guess it was past tense, so there's something there. That's one of the win columns, sort of. And then he just hands it back to me, and I was like, okay. I didn't even say thanks. I was like, how do you respond to that? Yes, thanks, no, dick. Then I just put my stuff in the bag, and I left. The end. Here's Don Taylor.
All right. Scientists say some whale species off the Mexican coast are showing signs of severe sunburn that may be caused by the damaged ozone layer's decreased ability to block ultraviolet radiation. The seagoing mammals would be particularly vulnerable to the sun damage in part because they need to spend extended periods of time on the ocean's surface to breathe, socialize, and feed their young. Since they don't have fur or feathers, that effectively means that they sunbathe naked.
Never mind. Sorry.
Laura Martinez-Levasseur, who works at the Zoological Society of London, spent 3 years studying whales in the Gulf of California. Photographs were taken of the whales to chart any visible damage, and small samples taken from a crossbow-fired dart were collected to examine the state of their skin cells. The results showed lesions associated with sun damage, and many of their skin samples revealed patterns of dead cells associated with exposure to the powerful ultraviolet radiation emitted by the sun. As with humans, the lighter-skinned whales seem to have the most difficulty dealing with the sun. Blue whales had more severe skin damage than their darker-skinned counterparts, fin whales and sperm whales, even though the latter spend bigger chunks of time at the surface.
So you were just talking about an epidermis-based ailment there, a skin ailment worthy of being discussed.
Mm-hmm.
An injury on the surface of the skin, which is notable.
Yes. A lesion?
Of news. Bam! There we go, right there. I had to lead you right to it.
Wow.
But then you were up to the edge of the water, and you drank heartily and with gusto. I would take this story a lot more seriously if it didn't come in the heels of the dolphin story, which said that we don't know what the hell we're talking about and haven't for, like, that we're just now changing everything. No. Wait, no. They're deaf. And we've been pushing them out the water, but that's bad. We have to stop that now. That's wrong. We've been doing exactly the wrong... Everyone... We've been doing the wrong thing, like, forever. So, you know, I'm just saying, just take it with the grain of salt that it requires, I think.
Okay. That's all the science.
I'm just saying. You know, today we're trying to save the whales. Tomorrow there are mortal enemies. Maybe not actually tomorrow. I mean, it might be, you know, maybe next week, might be next month. I'm just saying, I don't trust them.
I just read a book about whales trying to take over humanity. They were being mind-controlled by a guy who was a human-whale hybrid, though. And made them hydraulic stilts so they could walk on land, and they had special helmets that gave them laser eyes.
Okay.
I think it was fiction.
Uh-huh. You're listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you can get this program later on today via iTunes, also as a direct MP3 download, here or at Legion of News. Mobile.cascadia.fm. Also on your handheld device, your mobile device, mobile.cascadia.fm, rather. Mobile.cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
I received an email from a listener that just says, "Damn it! I live three blocks from there. Give me a break."
From where? Wales?
I don't know. It took me a couple of minutes. I think he's talking about the stolen tricycle in Gresham.
When he says, "Damn it," I mean...
That's the subject line, is just, "Damn it."
Is he worried that his tricycle is next? Or
Maybe.
That you missed your chance to steal it and sell it for drug money?
Maybe that's it. Right. He's been looking for a free tricycle.
I really would like to know, honestly, just out of curiosity or anything else, like, where the guys who stole the tricycle are now, and if they are... I mean, like, if they even still have the thing with them, or if they just, like, dumped it. And if they have it, what are they doing with it? Is it just sitting in the living room, and are they just staring at it while taking bong rips? And just going, like, "Oh, we stole a tricycle." And then just watching, you know, and then watching Colbert.
Well, I want to know, it's like, if they find out, like, via the news, that now everyone's looking for the tricycle, and it is in their living room, now are they, like, terrified to remove it from their home because someone will see it and turn them in? So then what do? They just keep this giant tricycle in their house forever, or do they start trying to disassemble it and smuggle it out in parts?
It's like that Johnny Cash song. You just you know, it's like the opposite of stealing the Cadillac. You just you know, you just dispose of the... It's like disposing of a dead hooker, you know? It's just one piece at a time. You take the things that are easily detachable, you deal with them. And then, you know, and the rest, they just get carried out in your lunch bucket. I mean, theoretically speaking.
If one was to disassemble a dead hooker.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah. So you've heard.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. Sometimes if you got a trunk, it's not necessary.
Fire broke out on an Anderson County, South Carolina farm on Monday afternoon, causing tens of thousands of dollars in damage, according to firefighters. Firefighters were called to the McCown Farm just before noon in the Williford community. The farm raises about 100,000 chickens. Volunteer fire departments helped put out the flames. Apparently, a giant tower of chicken feed had gone up in flames. Water had to be brought in from a hydrant about a mile away, pumped into a temporary holding container, then pumped up to the top of the silo using a fully extended ladder truck.
A burning tower of chicken feed.
A burning tower of chicken feed.
Uh-huh.
McCown said the silage in the silo, I guess that's what you keep in a silo.
Silage. I would imagine.
And then in the story, it follows up, I swear to God, by saying, dictionary.com defines silage as fermented high-moisture fodder that can be fed to farm animals.
Is that in the story itself?
Yes, it is.
I wonder if that's a journalist who did a little inadvertent copying and pasting.
Maybe.
There. Ted, what's silage? I don't know. Look it up.
Unfortunately, the silage was about 10 years old in the silo. Spontaneous combustion usually happens within the first 2 months if it gets too dry or to hay that gets too wet. But
How can spontaneous combustion happen to hay that gets too wet?
I don't know.
I've
never understood that whole thing about silos full of grain just spontaneously combusting either. I heard it explained once years ago about, like, a buildup of gases or whatever happens.
Yeah, if it's
air,
decomposing.
Yeah, but I still don't understand how it could just burst into flame.
Well, it doesn't just burst into flames. It's that something, you know, something does light it, but it's just that it takes very, very little. It takes very little to do so, and then the air acts as an accelerant and whatever. The thing about the wet, and don't just... Please don't try to explain. Let's just leave it. Some things are just got to be mysteries, you know. Leave me a little intrigue in the universe. Some things are just not going to be explained today, and that's going to be one of them. So just, you know.
I just really, for some reason, the phrase "tower of chicken feed"
with Steve McQueen
really appeals to me.
Yeah.
The tower's on fire. What are we going to do?
I'm just picturing.
Damn
it's
it!
Like,
I was due to retire day after tomorrow.
It's like a Wallace and Gromit sort of a thing, but it also makes me think of like one of those like Glengarry Glen Ross in 30 Seconds with bunnies or whatever. Oh. But it's, you know, but it's like the towering inferno with chickens, you know, in 10 seconds, and like a Steve McQueen chicken going, "The tower's unsafe," and then somebody else go, "We gotta open," and then O.J. Simpson rides up and down in an elevator.
An O.J. Simpson chicken.
An O.J. Simpson chicken, exactly.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Okay. That was pretty entertaining, in all things considered. Here's your entertainment news. This is Don Taylor.
Actor Daniel Radcliffe went through an emotional whirlwind after shooting the final scenes of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. "I was crying for 2 hours. It was very sad," said the actor to Jam Showbiz. I said,
is there an
Jam!
Exclamation mark
yes.
there?
Jam!
Okay. Thank you.
Showbiz. At that particular moment in time, you feel pretty desolate, I suppose is the word, and I was quite inconsolable. Meanwhile, Emma Watson, who is a student at Brown University in Rhode Island, admitted she's still dealing with the end of Harry Potter. I go through periods where it feels fine and I'm in school, so I'm busy, and there are days when I feel really lost, said Watson. I had people telling me where I needed to be, what they wanted me to do. My whole life was on a schedule, on a call sheet every day. It's always going to be an adjustment.
Well, that's kind of interesting, actually, because they were what, like, how old were they when they started?
They're pretty young.
Like 12?
Yeah, something like that.
And that was how long ago? A decade ago?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you got to figure for nearly 50% of their lives, if there has been somebody like this sounds weird, but it is not unlike people who leave a particularly restrictive religion where every day of the week and every minute of the day, you got a guy telling you where to go, what to do, yeah, what to dress, what to, you know, what to eat.
And so, even in between movies, when you're not working on the Harry Potter movies, there's the knowledge that you're going to be going back in a couple of months to start again.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, and that dictates what you can do and what other roles you can take. So it's got to be weird, though, to be like have the tyranny of choice, the sort of blinding, like, I can do anything. It's terrifying.
Yes.
All right.
Singer-actress Jessica Simpson and former football player Eric Johnson are engaged, reports Us Weekly. The couple started dating in May while Johnson was still married to his wife, Carrie Johnson. Their divorce was finalized in October. Darren Aronofsky has revealed that the next Wolverine movie will be titled The Wolverine, and it is not intended as a sequel to X-Men Origins Wolverine. The movie centers on Hugh Jackman's romance with a Japanese woman who is promised to another man. Their relationship leads to a battle with the woman's father and her samurai brothers.
I swear to God, I would give anything, anything, if, like, it's released to theaters and it's just Wolverine sitting cross-legged at a table, just, like, drinking little cups of sake and just going, domo. You know, and then just, you know, and then occasionally getting up and, like, with his adamantium claws, very carefully and non-damagingly, like, you know, just assessing the quality of the rice paper walls and then, you know, and just saying, very nice.
I would love it if Aronofsky made a Wolverine movie that was kind of like The Wrestler.
Yeah.
With just like sort of Wolverine down on his luck.
In Atlantic City.
And having to work at a deli counter slicing up meats with his claws.
Yeah. I'm picturing him in like Flashdance or something. Yeah, like in a metal shop place, like grinding his claws to a fine point. You know, and then having to get out and like, you know, yeah, he's just like a guy working at like a mulching factory or something with it. That'd be awesome.
U2 lead singer Bono says he has cautious joy over the release of pro-democracy activist Aung San Suu Kyi in Myanmar. She's been held as a political prisoner for 2 decades.
This might be the beginning of some sort of rational discussion with the people of Burma by the military junta, but we're not sure. There's 2,202
junta
political prisoners still in prison for the crime of believing in an election result.
Junta?
Wow, he has really, like, toned down the Irish accent in the last decade, hasn't he?
Probably. He's probably not really Irish.
While Myanmar's military rulers ordered Aung San Suu Kyi detained.
Why? Myanmar, did that used to be something else? Is that one of those places that
we've
I used to know?
We've had this conversation before. I swear to God we did on a previous story, and we looked it up. And
was it about Myanmar,
remember.
or was it a different place?
No, it was about this place.
Okay, so it's like how the... Okay.
Or I'm having one of those deja vu things because I dreamed this.
Well, it's like, the Congo used to be Zaire. And I think before that it was actually the Congo again. You know, so who knows? All right, so...
It used to be Burma.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, she was detained for 2 decades. Legendary rock band U2 gave her a voice in the form of the hit song Walk on the world stage. Bono was among those cheering the pro-democracy activist release on Saturday.
She is kind of the Mandela of our moment, really, this moment we're in right now.
Do you ever notice that, I mean, I'm sure she's a great person and all. Whoever Bono was talking about at that moment in time is his Mandela, or like the most important person who has ever been freed, or like the most, you know, the cause that is the most worthy of all of it. It's like whatever, it's like he's a squirrel, and it's just like whatever is in front of him at the moment is the shiniest, brightest object he has ever seen in his life.
He's passionate. He's passionate about whatever he's doing at the moment.
Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it's a good thing. Look, here's the thing. Let's be honest. If I was Bono, I would use my power so badly. I would just have all the wrong people freed from prison. It's like, first, you pick somebody strange and awful. I was going to say Squeaky Fromm, and she's already out. See? So maybe I wouldn't do anything. Screech. Is he in jail?
Dustin Diamond. I don't know.
He's not in jail.
Okay, maybe
you
not.
Lie, devil woman. Cut out your fibbing tongue. Tell me Screech is in jail.
It could happen.
Yeah. No, I have nobody funny to go to.
No.
I went to D.B. Cooper, who, you know, we don't know who he is. Went to Squeaky Fromm. She's already out. So maybe I would free no one. Ooh, if I was... No. That's the thing. If I was Bono, I would actually just work to have people put in jail. People who displeased me.
Charlie Sheen. Maybe he could, like, fight for Charlie Sheen.
Yes. No. I'd have him imprisoned, and then I would have a change of heart, and I'd work to free him.
Do you think Bono must have to take some kind of, like, really super great prescription anti-anxiety drugs? Because, honestly, it must be very nerve-wracking to care that much about so many things all of the time.
It's like you wake up every day and you could just sense everyone on the earth crying.
I mean, I wake up at 4 in the morning and I can't sleep because, like, you know, my PGE bill is late.
Right.
You know, I mean, honestly, if you have the weight of all of these, like, you know, political prisoners and starving people and stuff like that on your shoulders, it must be very hard to sleep at night.
And for Bono, every day is that moment where Obi-Wan hears thousands of souls crying out and then silenced.
Yes.
Exactly. All right. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm, brought to you by, among other fine businesses, Squires Electric. You can find out more about them by going to SquiresElectric.com, 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609. It's a sad day. So all of my Halloween decorations have been put away, by the way. They're all put away, put in a box.
Except for the giant steel pumpkin here.
Well, that's kind of staying out here because it's heavy and I'm lazy. But at home... The last of the, and I had the coolest decoration that I will bring out again next year for Halloween. I got it at the Halloween Bazaar. It was sort of a, it's a simple idea, and it doesn't sound nearly as cool as it looks. It looks so much better because it's such a simple thing. But they were selling, it's basically a full size, like an old fashioned broom with the wooden handle and, you know, the straw or whatever. It's like a witch broom. And then they've just wrapped it in a series of really small, bright orange lights. And it just looks fantastic. And you think to yourself, well, that. Why didn't I think it's so freaking simple? And it's like, I had never thought of it, though. And the guy who thought of it just did it, made it at home, and it looks amazing. But it is the sort of thing you plug in, and you go, You plug in, and it starts to go, And it's everything else kind of flickers for just a second. And you're looking at it going like, how much heat and how much power? What is involved here? And it really is one of those lights that you feel like if you have to go to like to the, you know, just to the mailbox or something, you're like, you want to unplug it. You know, like, if it doesn't really matter. I'm just walking out of the car to find, like, a pair of shoes or something. It's like, I just, you know, unplug the thing because I'm always afraid it's drawing so much power. So you probably don't know how that stuff works any better than I do. And you are coming up on Christmas, which really is like, let's be honest. If there's 2 days during the year where your power is going to be put under strain, it's the first day you put on the air conditioner because that's the same day everybody else does it. And then it's the, you know, the day you turn on all your Christmas lights, your, you know, lights on the tree, lights in the front of your house, lights in the front yard, because every guy in your block is doing the same thing. God forbid you're in one of those streets where it's like an arms race, you know, about who can be seen from Jupiter first. So you contact Squires Electric. They can make sure that everything is up to snuff, that your wiring is fine, that it's going to be safe. And, you know, even issues of safety aside, just that you're not going to have the inconvenience of putting it in. You blow a fuse, the panel thing in the basement goes, you got to get it rewired. Or just this, if it's your first Christmas there, that you just go, all right, honey, I got everything wired up. Everything is fine. Plug this in. And then you look and it's like, there's the plug. And it's like the nearest outlet is like 3 feet away. And then you just kind of have that. You just cinch up, and then we just cut to black because nobody wants to see what happens next.
No.
So just don't let that happen to you. Have your house assessed, your business, if you're moving into a you know, new place with your job, with your you know, with your industry, if you're finding that it's not wired for your needs, Squires Electric, they can take care of all that. You go to SquiresElectric.com or 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. Squires Electric. All right. On that note, I believe we will end this installment of Legion of News, which comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District here in beautiful Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, it is Dawn Taylor, advanced technology and magic provider Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show begins next at rickemerson.com, and we will see you again tomorrow at noon for another episode of Legion of News. Thank you for listening. Have a safe and satisfying Monday, won't you please?